Hi, I'm Dan Pleiss.
And I'm Amber Ray.
Welcome to Unconditional Love,
a podcast about personal responsibility.
Hello again. So welcome to, this is our 11th podcast.
Yay.
And we're now going to start publishing them regularly every Tuesday so that people can know when to look for them. So we wanted to let people know that. And also, as a reminder, our email address is amberdanlove@gmail.com. If you, for any reason, would like to send us a message or suggest a topic to us, we'd love to hear from you. So this podcast is called Unconditional Love, and Amber and I discuss many issues around trying to live in a live a life full of unconditional love and the challenges that we face in doing that.
Yeah. And just a reminder, too, we're not experts by any means on this. We're just living our lives like the rest of you out there and have gained a little bit of wisdom along the way.
Yeah, so. So if your life is fucked up, it's your problem. In other words, it's what we're telling you.
Be personally responsible.
That's right. You're responsible for yourself.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's our podcast for today. Thank you very much for listening.
Bye.
I love us.
And today is Amber's birthday. So happy birthday to Amber Ray.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. Yeah.
So it's an extra special day and a great time to bring up this topic. This is my gift to you, Amber, for your birthday.
Thank you. You're so generous.
The episode today is called Loving Help. And it's about learning how to, about the idea of helping, not just accepting help, but also giving help and what it means and why we do it. One of my favorite quotes is about on this topic is something along the lines of, if you give someone a gift or do something for someone because you expect something in return, then that's not love. That's a transaction. And I love that.
Yeah.
And I try really hard to live by that. And I think it's something that we do naturally, especially maybe in our culture, but it's very easy to count things and look at what you consider to be fair or not. And to say, you know, one example that's present in my life a lot, that I got over a long time ago, I'm proud to say, is I invite people over all the time. I love having people over. And I used to get annoyed with people that I invited over all the time that not only did they not invite me, but they never invited me over. But, you know, then in talking to them, I realized it's because they never had gatherings at their house. It wasn't because they were ignoring me.
They weren't singling you out. Yeah.
And just because I invite them over, it doesn't obligate them to invite me over. Why am I inviting them over? Is it because I want to spend time with them and I enjoy them, or because I expect to be invited back? Is it a transaction or is it a, you know, a gift? So, and I feel that way strongly about gifts. And I send a gift when I feel like it. On special occasions sometimes, but very often it's just when I see something that I think someone would like, I just get it for them. And conversely, when someone gives me something, I feel no obligation to give something back to them, even like at Christmas or what have you. Like multiple friends gave me Christmas gifts this year that I felt no obligation to run out and get them something.
Yeah.
They gave it to me because they wanted to, and I have them over to my house all the time, so they ought to give me something.
Oh my God, you're so funny.
No, yeah. but it's like, but that we give each other things in different ways at different times. And
yeah,
I love giving the gift of hospitality, and anytime anyone feels like giving me a gift, I try to accept it gracefully, graciously, instead of looking around like that. There's that SNL. It's actually a song. It's an SNL skit. It's called like the Christmas Candle or something, and it's all these women talking about regifting this ugly Christmas candle, and the whole song is people just like they're at lunch and someone gives them a gift and like, oh shit, I gotta quick come give them a gift. They dig down in their purse, they come up with this candle, this gross candle someone gave them, and they give it to the other person, and because everyone, they feel obligated. As soon as someone gives them something, now they're obligated to give something back, so they keep regifting this ugly Christmas candle.
Oh, that's funny.
But why is it not okay to just accept that gift? And I think help, you know, falls into the category of a gift, or it, in my mind, it could or it should.
Yeah.
Just, it's a gift that you're giving someone, you're helping them. Why am I so much better at helping than accepting help is something that I've tried to work on over the years.
But that's part of that is being as a person who is a caretaker. And I don't mean like a caretaker for like that's your profession or anything. But if that's part of your personality, I think it's a difficult thing to be able to be brave enough when you need help to ask for it or to even accept it. Even if you don't ask for it, if somebody's offering something to you, I don't know why that's hard, but it is.
Well, that was...
in my mind, it's because I see myself as a strong person.
Mm-hmm.
Accepting help sometimes I see it for me at admitting that I'm not as strong as I thought I was, which would be weakness to me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like the core of what I wanted to talk about was so inherent in what you're saying is that you're judging other people that you're helping as being weak.
Yeah
And
at least, yeah, because if I think that about myself, obviously, I mm-hmm. would think that, yeah.
So you somehow...
And it's okay for them to be weak, but not mm-hmm. for me to be weak, yeah.
And that's something that struck me. It was one of the times that I was reading Brené Brown's The Gifts of Imperfection.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after my father had died, the year after my father died, and I was so perplexed because for both me and my sister, we had this strange experience where we met after he died. All these people came out of the woodwork from different phases of his life and told stories about how generous he was and how helpful and how much he helped them with something personal or professional. And, you know, all these women came forward and talked about how, you know, he was in upper management at the University of Michigan and how he strongly felt, you know, encouraged women and promoted them based on merit and didn't promote men just because they were men. And and my stepsister, you know, which I had known about, always talked about how he gave her all this great financial advice about investing. And I had asked him on multiple occasions for financial advice. And my sister had, you know, wanted encouragement and help from him in her career as a woman in aerospace, which was very uncommon, especially when she started out. Mm. And neither one of us had felt like we'd gotten any help or encouragement. In fact, he had actively, you know, not helped me in times when I had asked him for help. And at extreme points of extreme desperation, or just one in particular, I guess, really just once that I ever asked him for help. So it was so perplexing that there were all these people talking about how generous and helpful and sweet he was. This woman that talked about she wasn't feeling well, and my dad, like, they were sort of, I mean, they were romantical. I don't know if they were sexual, but he, like, left a flower for her every day outside her door or something, just to let her know that someone was thinking about her.
Oh my God, how sweet.
And wow. just was constantly giving people cards and the retirement home where he lived. And I just thought, I don't know who this person is that you're talking about, because it wasn't, he was so withholding. And I was reading that summer Brené Brown's book, and she talked about this topic of help and how if you are, and she was talking about herself as someone who is always together and organized and takes care of everyone, takes care of everything, but she was really bad at accepting help. And she, you know, was pointed out that if you can give help but not accept it, that you are judging these other people as being weak or less than you. And that unless you can learn to accept help wholeheartedly, mm-hmm. that there is a little bit of a transactional maybe element to helping someone, and that you're not that you're expecting something in return, but that you are, it's part of it.
You're benevolent.
You're making yourself feel better about yourself, and you're, as someone who gives help, so you're giving it because as a way of making yourself feel better in part. I mean, not that you don't love helping people, but it's not pure wholehearted giving if you can't also receive. And you're judging your, you don't want to judge yourself as being weak. And I thought about my dad, and I thought that as his children, he didn't want to think of us as, because he was the worst accepting help ever. He was completely independent, and he didn't want to ever accept, he didn't want to think of us as people who needed help. He wanted us to be people that, and that was an extension of his inability to be loving to himself. And, you know, we were wrapped up in his idea of who he was and who we were as a family. And we weren't people who needed help, and he weren't people who could accept help. And, you know, he was, even though his eyesight was really, really bad in the later years of his life, and after my stepmother died, he memorized the layout of the grocery store in his area. And when friends would, he would get a ride with friends, he would accept a ride, but he knew where everything was in the store just by, I mean, he could see well enough to navigate down the aisles. He knew like go down to the third aisle and up halfway up on the left-hand side is the kind of bread that he likes. And then he'd get close enough that then he could stare really closely at the labels until he found the bread that he wanted, but he wouldn't let anyone help him. He just,
Jeez. Wow.
And, he very much gave him, if you didn't know that he was so hard of sight, you never would have guessed most of the time. But, so I just thought, so that helped me understand him better, that maybe the reason that he was so withholding wasn't that he didn't like me, but that he didn't want to think of me as someone who needed help. And
wow. Yeah.
And it's that's one of the things that Brené Brown was saying in her book, was that if you it makes you a more loving person if you can accept help wholeheartedly, because you always are keeping a barrier up and a judgment up if you are the one who's always giving help. And I've tried to be much better about accepting help in my life.
Yeah.
But I know that for you, that you struggle with that a lot as well. It's hard to accept help from people.
Yeah. Well, I had told you, I had texted you the other day when you at first sent me the rundown, that I remember, like, even now, sometimes when I look back on my life, and I have received a lot of help in my life from some amazing people. But when I look back on, like, particular instances, part of me, there's an element in me which is like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have accepted that help. I wish I would have just been able to do it on my own.
Do you know why you wish that? What?
To feel good about myself, that I'm, you know, it would be to, or I think that because I don't want to, even in my own mind, think of myself as not being able to do things on my own, you know? Mm-hmm.
And do you think that the people who, just a part of you that thinks the people who helped you think less of you because they had to help you?
No, well, I actually know they didn't. I know they don't.
No, but that just because you know they don't doesn't mean you don't might not feel that way.
Well, it's funny. I remember one time Bill Estes, who you know was an amazing friend to me. He had helped me financially with something, and I remember talking to him about how I felt and how grateful I was, but also how, you know, sad I was that I had to even ask for help. Well, and I don't even think I asked for it. I think he just helped me because he wanted to help me. And one of the things that he said to me was, he said, "It's my honor to be able to help you at this time." And he's like, "Just as you would help me." Mm-hmm. But when he used that word honor, I was like, "Oh," because we were both getting something. And I know that that does sound transactional, but it was goodness, right? There's it was goodness.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was trying to share his point of view so you could accept the help that he was doing it out of love and not out of some sense of obligation.
Yeah.
That reminds me of a story of Harry Belafonte. When I saw a biography of his of him one time, and during the civil rights movement, he was, you know, at the height of his career and making a lot of money for a black man. And he, which I didn't know until I saw this, at the beginning part of Martin Luther King's human rights campaign, it was basically bankrolled by Harry Belafonte. He paid for his transportation. He paid for his security. He bailed him out of jail whenever he was in jail, and his record sales suffered because of it. And the interviewer asked him. If he was worried at all at the time about, having to, giving up record sales in exchange for helping Harry Belafonte, and if he was worried about his career, and if he was afraid at all that was going to ruin his career as a singer, and he said, his answer was, it was a privilege to support Martin Luther King.
It's like what Bill said. Mm-hmm. Yes.
He said it was the greatest privilege of his life to do that. He wasn't afraid at all.
Wow.
And I thought that was a great way of thinking about it. What does it mean? What does it feel like to accept help? It requires being vulnerable, right?
Yeah. And being brave. Yeah.
To admit to yourself that you need help.
Well, it's like an opening up, right? Like you have to open your arms, you have to open your chest, you have to be willing to receive, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is how we should be all the time.
And I get wrapped up in helping people, which I love to do. But then sometimes I reach a point where I feel like I really could use some help right now. And why isn't anyone offering? Because I'm so empathic about knowing when people need help and offering the kind of help that they need. And I'm sort of always looking around for someone like me to come along and offer help because I'm so bad at asking for it. But and then, you know, sometimes I get wrapped up in my head around that, like, you know, I'm giving so much, and I wish, not in a transactional way, just like I wish that someone somewhere would show up and like offer me help, because I could use some too.
Yeah.
And I realize that I must project the idea of not needing help, and I've gotten much better at letting Chad help me. Sometimes. Sometimes I'm not. Like, I just, it's people, I don't think it occurs to people a lot of the time that I need help, because I don't think I ever project a sense of helplessness. And not that people who accept help, I mean, how, what is it, what do people look like who are good at accepting help? Like, what are they, like, we know people who are, seem to sort of, we both know people who seem to get through their lives largely by being helped by other people, and financially and otherwise, and they live perfectly happy lives, and the people who support them are perfectly happy to do it.
Yeah.
So how do you, I can't imagine being completely financially dependent on somebody. I think that would be really anxiety producing for me.
Yeah, it would for me too, because I'm so used to surviving, you know, taking care of things. I'm used to taking care of things. And I enjoy, like, I like taking care of things. I like, I like taking care of my family. I like being financially responsible, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, I went to my therapist. I mean, it was a while ago now, maybe like a year ago or something. I, you know, check in with him every once in a while when I need to talk about something. And I was all worked up about feeling like I was alone and needed help and struggling. And he pointed out, he's like, this is a pattern with you. Like, you, everything is great and you're in charge and running everything in your life until you hit some kind of wall. And then you get all upset because no one's stepping up to help you. And then until things settle down again, and then you're all happy and helping everyone else again. And so how can you maybe take a step back from helping everyone else and put more effort into helping yourself, first of all? And secondly, let other people know that you need help. Like, I learned, like, having these entertaining all the time, especially with large meals, especially occasions like Easter or Thanksgiving or something. Everyone, at first, when I was, used to host these big Thanksgivings, I would tell people, you don't need to bring anything, you don't need to bring anything, because I would have all the food delivered, like, you could possibly want. And people would show up with stuff anyway, and I would get sort of annoyed, like, I told you not to bring anything, and if you were bringing something, you could have at least told me, so I could know that there was going to be three kinds of stuffing, so I could have made less or whatever. But I realized that, you know, by saying no, I wasn't letting them into the process. So I started saying, you know, people are welcome to bring whatever you want. Just let me know what it is. And then people would say, well, I'm going to bring this dessert or that salad or whatever, because it's something that they wanted to contribute. And it was meaningful to them. It was so important to them that they were going to do it, whether I wanted them to or not. And I was trying to omit them from being a part of it in a way that, in, of this celebration that we all wanted to be a part of.
Wow.
So, I don't know, it'd be interesting to have the same conversation with someone who, runs their life by being helped by other people.
Yeah.
And hear their point of view of, like, what it feels
about
like.
What it feels like from their perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I get the impression that their feeling seems to be that they're managing their affairs perfectly by themselves, that they don't perceive it as that they're being helped in their life. They're running their lives perfectly just the way they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they would be, I think in my experience, I think that they would be a little resentful of being told that they live their lives by allowing other people to help them. So,
yeah, because they probably don't see it that way.
They don't at all.
Well.
And it's just us judging them. Seriously, it really is.
I know. It's like, and I always think, I'm not a judgmental person. And yet, everything we've been talking about today proves that I am.
but in a kind, loving way.
Or so I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, bless her heart. She probably needs some help.
Bless her heart. Weak, needy person. Mm. Let me help you. I'm just joking. That's not how I feel.
But it's in there somewhere. It's So, well, let's we just sign off. It's we don't want to. We can go on forever talking about some of these things. So we certainly didn't solve anything. But if anyone out there is listening, who I encourage you to let more help in your life if you don't, if that's something that you're bad at.
That's good advice. Yeah, open up, open your arms.
And also, ask people if they need help, because not everyone is good at asking for it.
And don't force help on people.
Yeah. Yes.
there's that too.
Yes, exactly.
There's that too.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's spread the light, spread the love.
Yep. Right? And again, amberdanlove@gmail.com. If anyone wants to send us an email, we're here. And until next week, have a great week. And happy birthday, Amber.
Thank you. Namaste. I love you, Dan.
I love you too.